I've recently discovered the music of Molly Nielsen. She's pretty obscure. There's not even a Wikipedia article about her. But she's interesting to me because of the completely self-made nature of her career, and I think that in itself is a reason to listen to her. Molly Nielsen writes, performs, and records her own albums. She also founded the label they're released on, designs the cover art, maintains her website, books her own tours, even co-directs her videos. When you buy one of her albums, she's the one who goes to the post office. Her production budget is obviously very small. The synth and drum machine sounds are really primitive. Her voice is low, raw, and untrained, so the lyrics are sometimes hard to understand. It's obvious she doesn't use auto-tune. So Nielsen is probably not going to take Taylor Swift's place on the pop charts, but she has the freedom to make any kind of music she wants, a freedom that superstars don't have. Yes, it's dance music, but dark and personal. The lyrics can be brutal, too strongly flavored for the radio. I like the veracity of her work, knowing that it's a completely personal project. The music comes off honest to me because it all comes from her. Molly Nielsen is currently on tour, and her seventh album will be coming out any day now. You'll be able to find it, but only if you look for it. For KMUW, I'm Mark Foley.
And I'm Fletcher Powell here, of course, with Mark Foley. And Mark, this DIY aesthetic sort of thing is not exactly something new, although it might be something that's easier to do now.
Right.
I'm thinking, personally, one of my favorites that just popped into my mind is sort of the early work of John Darnielle, who played as the Mountain Goats. And he...
Oh, yeah.
And he would play into a tape recorder. And even on his early stuff, you can hear the grinding of the tape recorder that he's playing into, and you can hear him actually push the stop button on the tape recorder. And there were some people, not myself necessarily, but some people who felt when he moved to higher production values in a real studio that something was lost. And you touch on that a little bit in your last paragraph there about the veracity of Molly Nielsen's work. But what advantage do you think there is to this DIY way of doing things?
I don't know. I don't think it's really intrinsic to the music, but just it's just part of the experience. You know, someone is just turning on a tape recorder in their apartment and just playing into it. There's something so personal about that. Something, I don't know, there's this honesty about it. There's fewer middlemen, I guess. It's more egalitarian.
Something that's kind of cool, you brought along a playlist of some other artists with music in varying states of DIY.
Right. Uh-huh.
One of those, I actually want to go back to Molly Nielsen, because first of all, I'm kind of curious how in the world you even found her.
I think I was reading some online newspaper or something, and somebody interviewed her, and it just stuck out to me, the DIY thing. It was in the title, and it was like, yeah, this is something I've been resonating with for a long, long time, because I love that experience of somebody doing something so personal. So yeah, there's another one here, You Always Hurt the One You Love. Very, very dark dance music, but it's unique. No one else can do this.
Of course, there are certain other artists. I know Wilco at least released an album independently in order to do exactly what they wanted to do. But then there are artists like The Residents, who you mentioned, who created their entire own label in order to maintain their control.
Right. They're just plain weird. They're this 70s rock band. They were huge in the underground scene. People that weren't into disco listened to The Residents. Early 70s, they started their own label. This tune, Constantinople, is probably one of their quote-unquote hits.
if they can have such a thing.
Right, right. Which is probably anti-ethical to what they were going for. But yeah, they had complete artistic control of what they did, and it's super weird.
Here I come, Constantinople.
I was talking earlier about John Darnielle playing into his cassette player. Certainly a name that a lot of people might be familiar with, and they are never conventional, is Ween.
Yeah, Ween. I've been fans of theirs since the 80s. middle 80s, they started putting out a bunch of cassettes, just homemade cassettes, and, I don't know, got the ear of some record label people. So they signed to this big label. And they took all their advance money, went into their basement, and went back to their cassette recorder and did the whole album on the cassette recorder. This is a tune called Don't Laugh, I Love You, which is, I don't know. They're funny because they're so sincere but funny at the same time. Like, you don't know if it's a joke or not, because they're really, really good musicians. They're playing really well, but the way they're singing is just really silly. I don't know. There's a real soft spot in my heart for these guys.
There's nobody like Ween.
Right.
And when the sun
certainly in the hip hop world, the DIY aesthetic is very prominent,
right.
and maybe technology has had something to do with that. Although of course hip hop has been around for quite a few decades now,
right.
But you thought of one person in particular.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, hip hop is pretty much all DIY, especially in the early days. You know, turntable and a drum machine, that's all you need, and a microphone. So yeah, definitely technology is what made that happen. And I don't know. I don't know why I chose MF Doom. Maybe just because he's my favorite guy. I just love his stuff. But you can tell he's a guy that just finds some cool samples, puts them together. This isn't the kind of thing that you do in a $100 an hour recording studio. He probably did it in his bedroom or something like that. Although he's on a major label, I think, with this thing. But this album, Operation Doomsday, is amazing. There's this thread, these cartoon samples that go through the whole thing that he lifted from, an old Fantastic Four cartoon. It's just hilarious.
Now, who will be the first to tell me of a past adventure?
I say that.
Why don't you tell him about the time we faced Doom?
All right. Well, as I remember, Doom had threatened the world leaders with destruction of every major city on Earth.
Good evening.
Would you believe it? It's Doom on the phone.
What's on your evil mind?
Hold your insulting tongue and mark my words well. I have plotted my revenge on you. Now I shall have it. Bid farewell to your friends.
Doom hates us all. But in his warped mind, he has a personal score to settle with me.
Operation Doomsday.
Something that's really exciting about hip-hop throughout its history, and especially these days, is just the experimentation that's allowed because of this sort of self-contained way of doing things.
Right, yeah. If you like MF Doom, listen to Madlib. He's another guy that can just put together amazing things with just very, very little. In fact, he doesn't use a computer. He does it all live, right into the tape. So everything you hear is not overdubbed. It's a performance, really.
And then a group maybe a number of people here have heard of, didn't get quite as big in the U.S. as they did overseas, but still fairly big here.
Yeah.
Arctic Monkeys. I had no idea about their DIY background.
Yeah. They just put together this little tape and I guess just burned it on their computer, just made a bunch of copies, played a lot of live shows, and people started sharing it. It was right around the beginning of file sharing, and so I think they kind of rode that crest. It was all done illegally and free, and there was this overwhelming response, and so they got signed. And when they finally released a CD, it went number one on the UK singles chart in 2005.
And then not only do we end up with commercial hits like Arctic Monkeys, but there are some of these DIY projects that end up being massive critical hits as well. One that you mentioned was on the shortlist for one of the most prestigious awards, the Mercury Prize.
Yeah, that's how C. Duncan got on my radar. I was listening to him when the latest Mercury Prize shortlist came out. He's an amazing guy. Just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sounds that come from this guy's bedroom. This tune is called By, that's B-Y.
Well, thanks to Mark Foley. We'll have that playlist that he's just given us on our website at KMUW.org. For Mark Foley, for KMUW, I'm Fletcher Powell.